This is the CPC Podcast, episode 52 for July 21st, 2019. Do you know what time it is? This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. Only one item in church news this week. Saturday, August 3rd will be the back-to-school pool party for the youth. It will be held at the home of Rose and Susie Von Tunglin, and all youth and parents are invited to attend. If you need more information or like to RSVP, check out the item on our Facebook page. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Tim Reeves.
Our first reading this morning comes from the 8th chapter of the prophet of Amos, beginning with the first verse and proceeding through verse 12. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Now, reading from the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with the 38th verse and proceeding through verse 42. Again, let us listen for the word of the Lord. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Open now our hearts and minds, O God, by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, so that as your word is proclaimed this day, we may hear with joy what it is you would have us hear, that hearing we might believe, and that believing we might live lives of richer and fuller service, glorifying you here on earth as you are glorified in heaven. Amen. In an article entitled, If I Had My Life to Live Over, American humorist Irma Bombeck mused before her death the following. She said, "If I had my life to live over, I would have talked less and listened more. I would have invited friends over to dinner, even if the carpet were stained and the sofa faded. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would have sat on my lawn with my children and not worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching life. I would have shared more of the responsibility carried by my partner. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I weren't there for the day. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy, I'd have cherished every moment and realized that the wonderment growing inside of me was the only chance in life to assist in a miracle. There would have been more I love yous, more I'm sorries, but mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute, look at it and really see it, live it, and never give it back." I don't know what it was about this morning's readings that made me think of those words, but I thought about them more than once over this past week, especially while studying Luke's gospel. Because while on the surface this is a story about two sisters, Mary and Martha, the Bible actually uses this encounter in the life of Jesus as a way of challenging all of us to choose what is needed for the time and place in which we find ourselves. We're probably all pretty familiar with the story. Jesus goes to Martha's house, and while she's being the hostess extraordinaire, her sister Mary sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to him. And Martha tries to pull Jesus onto her side and get him to rebuke Mary, but instead of doing this, Jesus affirms Mary's place at his feet and indeed tells Martha that she has chosen the better part. Now, Jesus may have said Mary had chosen the better part, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Most ministers I know would much rather have in their churches a whole lot more Marthas than Marys. We want people who will jump up and volunteer their time, their energies, their talents, and help the church accomplish specific goals. I have more than a few friends in the ministry who cringe every time this text comes up in the lectionary cycle because they just know deep down that it's going to alienate those people who do so much of the work in the church. It's kind of like that old story about everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And so it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. But here's the thing. The longer I live, the more I am convinced that life is not about either or, but both and. Jesus didn't tell Martha Mary chose the best part. Jesus told Martha Mary chose the better part at that time, in that place. The fact of the matter is, there's more Mary and Martha in each of us than we're probably comfortable admitting. So, that was one thing that struck my attention. The challenge in this passage is learning to discern what time it is. Is it time for us to sit at our Lord's feet and listen to what he has to teach? Or is it time to get off of our bottoms after having heard what our Lord has taught us and go out and do the work of ministry? In this case, it was time to sit and listen, because we have to understand what time it was for Jesus. He has set his eyes toward Jerusalem. He is, with every step he takes, moving closer to his own betrayal, his own torture, his own death and resurrection. And as he draws ever closer to what awaits him in Jerusalem, it is time for his disciples to learn what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. Their responsibility is to sit and listen. When we ignore the opportunity to sit and learn from our Lord, the work we do suffers. Suddenly it becomes all about us and who acknowledges what we do or don't do or say or don't say, and we lose our focus. Or if we spend so much time selflessly giving of ourselves to others that we are never rejuvenated by the life-giving nourishment of the Word of God, then what happens? We get burned out, we grow resentful, and we are just sure that no one else can do this job. Right? Failure to worship God alone led to Amos's indictment of those who treated others unjustly. God asks Amos, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see a basket full of summer fruit." Now, this fruit has been picked. There's no more ripening on the vine. There's no more growth that can occur. It remains to be eaten or canned or frozen today or rot. Those were the options. Eat it or let it rot. And God's condemnation of the people of Israel is they have let the fruit rot. The time for them to grow and learn has come and gone. Every time I had sent a prophet to tell them to stop worshiping other gods and to treat their fellow men and women and children with justice and compassion, they have ignored my prophets and ignored my word. And so Amos says, tell them that a time of famine is coming. And it's not a famine of crops or water. You will not hear me talking to you for this period of time. Well, big deal. What's the big deal, Tim? Sometimes God talks to me so much, I'd just rather be quiet for a little bit. Maybe that's just me. Probably not. Here's the thing, though. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, and Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn to bread." And Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And if God is not talking, then we are not nourished. And if we are not nourished, we cannot fulfill our calling as the people of God. That's a big deal that Amos is told to proclaim. So back now to Luke. We're told in the Westminster Shorter Catechism that our chief end is to glorify and enjoy God forever. And we cannot do that simply by choosing either to sit at the Lord's feet or to go out and be involved in ministry. We have to do both together. We have to discern what time it is. Now, as I said, for Jesus' disciples then, it was time for them to sit and listen, to know the nature of Jesus' role as the Messiah. It was a completely different role that first Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit descended upon a group of 70 disciples behind closed doors in an upper room. Maybe Mary and Martha were even part of that group. We don't know. But the Holy Spirit descended on them, and this was not the time to sit and listen. This was the time to go and tell. So the Holy Spirit blew open the doors and drove them out in the streets where they began to proclaim the good news. That's what time it was then. But we lose that because this is such a relatable scene. Anyone who has ever felt like they've had to do all the work while someone else sat idly by knows exactly how Martha feels in this story. And anyone who has ever sat there and enjoyed a good sermon while someone else was too distracted to hear what was going on knows exactly what it's like to be Mary. Right? And so we cartoon the scene. There's Mary just kind of sitting there daydreaming. Oh, isn't he the dreamiest Messiah in the whole wide world? And there's Martha, eyeballs or up to her eyeballs in soap suds and dishes just piling up in the sink. And Jesus is saying, oh, Mary, you're doing the right thing. Martha, you have missed the boat completely. Just let those dishes pile up. Wrong. What we are talking about here is what is the appointed time. The appointed time here is Kairos, God's time. It's the same thing we read about in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, where we hear those beautiful voices, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather those stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. But keep this in mind too. Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, would have been absolutely unheard of and unthought of in Jesus' day, because that's the posture of a disciple. And discipleship was the realm of men. And Mary, sitting here listening eagerly to everything that Jesus says, not only opens the door for women to be disciples, it opens up a new way of thinking. And Jesus says to Martha, I appreciate the fact that you are going to so much trouble, but the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Have a seat right here and listen to what I have to say. You are welcome as a disciple too. That's what I think is behind the fact that Jesus says to her, Mary has chosen the better part. The word of God is what would sustain the disciples then and now. And it requires, discipleship requires that we both listen to what our Lord teaches and then put those teachings into action. And that's what we as individual Christians must discern today. What time is it? Have we been running ourselves ragged because no one else would do it? Then maybe our Lord is saying, sit and listen. Have we been sitting on the sidelines because no one's asked us to do something? Maybe the Lord is saying, get up and go. What time is it? There's a time to go and do. There's a time to sit and be. And only God can reveal to each of us what time it truly is. To God be all the honor, glory, and praise forever. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Tim Reeves. If you enjoyed what you heard today, hit that subscribe button. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're in the Google Podcast app, and we're also on the Stitcher app. And leave us a review no matter what app you use. It helps people find us. You can find us also on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram. Our username is CentralPresPB, which is conveniently also the address of our website. You can find us at www.centralprespb.com. At the website, you'll find worship schedules, our Central Scene newsletter, and other news and notes from around the church. Our theme music is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week. See you next time.